Maynard Meyer for Q92 Radio, and we have in the studios today Sarah Roberts and Robert Mitchell, who are with the Hemp Consortium. A lot of people in the area were introduced to hemp with a session that we had here through the EDA and the Chamber back in January, the Frozen Farm Forum, which really turned out to be a frozen farm forum, didn't it?
It sure did. It was frozen, that's for sure.
We were just saying that was your first Minnesota experience.
My first Minnesota experience.
And 31 degrees below zero with the wind chill.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. I brought my 16-year-old wiener dog with me. He thought I dropped him on another planet.
Yeah, my Jack Russell doesn't. She's a Minnesota dog. She doesn't like it too much either. So, well, let's talk a little bit about you first. Sarah, tell us about yourself. What's your role with the program?
Well, I just came on a few months back, and I helped pull together all the investing for projects and marketing and public relations, and I'm just kind of the right hand of Robert Mitchell over here.
No, she's really my better half.
Well, what we're really talking about too, we should say that you're kind of researching the possibility of putting a processing plant in the area, which would be a big move towards having hemp raised in this area.
Absolutely. And during the Frozen Farm Forum, Robert was a keynote speaker, and his whole goal is to make Minnesota the epicenter of the hemp revolution again. And so there were, go ahead, Robert, how many processing plants were up here during the 40s?
During the war effort, there was probably 7 different processing facilities here in Minnesota. I think they proposed to build about 15, ramped down to about 7. There was 42 processing plants in 6 states from 1942 to 43 for the war effort. And there was over 300,000 acres of hemp growing in 1943.
Maybe we should touch a little bit on, in case people aren't really familiar with hemp. A lot of times they hear hemp and they think, of course, marijuana and all that kind of thing, and whether it's legal and all of this. But hemp has been around a long time, and it really is not related necessarily to the drug industry.
Well, they would say it's a cousin. Right. Basically, cannabis is cannabis. The word marijuana is a slang term. It's actually a Spanish tobacco, and it was incorporated in the 30s when they made the propaganda to make it illegal. But cannabis is cannabis. It depends on whether it has THC value of greater than 5% or less than 5% is really where the line's drawn.
And the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp paper. Okay. Washington farmed it. Jefferson farmed it. So it's been around for a long time, and it doesn't have the properties that most people would think of to get you high. Yeah. You could smoke 10,000 acres of hemp, and you would never get
high. That's what I heard. You have to smoke the entire field, and it wouldn't do you any good anyway.
Absolutely. So.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the uses for hemp. A lot of them.
There's over 50,000 uses for hemp. Basically, hemp can be made from clothing, food, building materials, industrial textiles,
plastics,
personal hygiene products. I mean, you name it, it can do it.
Okay. 50,000 uses. That's a lot.
50,000 uses.
It's incredible. Plus, it's antibacterial. You can process it in a way where it'll be biodegradable. So if you made water bottles with it, we have charts of water bottles 80 days out. They've completely decomposed after they've been used. It's an incredible product, and that's really why this company was put together, because for farmers to be all in and farm this crop, there has to be a place in a market for it. And so we go find the manufacturers who will utilize the crop, and we put in the processing plants so we can get contracts to the farmers and they can start growing this and making a better return.
Okay, tell us, what are the benefits for farmers? What can they look forward to if they were growing hemp and we did have a processing plant in the area?
Well, it's definitely a better cash crop. It's great for soil remediation. Its extensive root system can bring minerals and nutrients from deep in the soil. It can and redistribute it over the topsoil. So it's a great for crop rotation.
It kills all the weeds because it grows so quickly, and there's more revenue per acre, and that's really what farmers want to hear.
And I understand it can be done with equipment that already exists.
Existing,
they don't have to go
equipment,
out and buy a lot of new equipment or anything.
No,
just a little, some modifications, but existing equipment will work.
And it's a dual income crop. So if the right processing facility is put into place, you can make money off the seeds and off of the fiber, the stalks.
Right. I think a lot of times we kind of get stuck in a rut thinking that corn and soybeans are the only thing that a person can raise and make a profit. But I think we're seeing some of that's changing.
We just talked to one of your economic development gentlemen with the city, and he was talking about this is perfect storm for hemp right now, because farmers are looking for this for a new marginal crop with better yields,
right.
It's perfect time for farmers to be looking at an additional revenue streams for the crops.
Okay. Now, I know we don't have a definite date right now, but sometime this summer you are going to be coming back and conducting some classes and sessions to give people more information on just what the benefits are, right?
Absolutely. We're working with the economic development team here in the county, and we're bringing in some classes in the next 4 to 6 weeks, and we'll have some dates set. And we'll have some lunch and learns, so we can just give an overview of what's going on if people just want to come in for an hour and ask questions. But we'll also have all-day classes, and we'll touch on everything from what it would take to farm. We'll bring farmers in, what it'll take to farm the crop, what investors can look forward to, what it's going to take for a processing plant, manufacturers in the area who can use the product. So we'll just cover everything while we're here.
I was looking at some of the information I got ahead of your arrival here, and I noticed one of the interesting words is a hemppreneur.
Hempreneur.
And what is a hempreneur?
Hempreneurs can be hippeneurs.
Sounds like an opportunity to make some money.
we got a few terms that we're trying to coin.
Yeah.
Definitely hempeneur is an entrepreneur type of term that we're trying to use.
And there's a lot of ways for people to make money off this. They can either put together funding groups, and they can fund these changes in the community, whether they're processing plants. There's also, we know several manufacturers in the area who are willing to put some investment in to start using hemp in their products, which, I mean, from plastics companies to food companies. So there's a lot of ways normal citizens can make money investing in hemp, and also larger corporations. So, and we'll cover all that in the classes. And it would, you know, people can get together and put funds together, there's even a local person here who wants to start making hemp soaps. And so you can do it from a very small Pinterest level to a large manufacturing.
Okay. Mom and pops too.
Yeah. Well, that's great. We get other people involved other than just the farmers. Can benefit the entire area in a lot of different ways.
Absolutely. We have a very high-end purse designer out of Italy, and she's looking for a place in the U.S. where she can have locally sourced hemp and make her purses out of the hemp for the... What kind of braiding does she do? Weaving?
It's called an Italian crochet.
An Italian crochet.
So she also wants to make hemp cosmetics. Hemp cosmetics are great for, go ahead and explain that.
Well, because it's antibacterial, not only are you putting makeup on your face, but you're also giving it the treatment to clear up acne or issues, because you have antibacterial makeup on, which is incredible.
Naturally healthy plant, kind of
right.
Like aloe and some of the other plants that just
exactly.
Have a lot of healing.
And so we have a lot of these people who have ideas that they want to start these companies, and they're looking for somewhere to put them. And so if we can have farm to factory here, it would be so much easier, and it'll attract a lot of people into the community.
Okay. So we certainly encourage everybody to be listening and watching the local papers for more information. And Antonio, who's in our studio audience, or was here, I don't know, he disappeared, and PJ Ellison, and a lot of folks will have a lot of good information on that, and I'm sure they'll be letting us know so we can tell people ahead of time.
Absolutely. And they can go to our website, thehempconsortium.com, and we'll have class schedules there as well.
Okay. Anything else we should touch on today that we haven't covered here?
I just believe that Minnesota and this area is going to be the epicenter of the industrial hemp revolution. So I'm really excited to be here, and I'm happy to work with Minnesota.
All right. Well, we look forward to talking to you both in the future and helping to plug the Hemp Consortium and the meetings coming up, and look forward to see what happens in the area.
Hemp, hemp, hooray.
Hemp, hemp, hooray. Be a hemppreneur.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We've been talking today with Sarah Roberts and Robert Mitchell from the Hemp Consortium.